This Monday morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're headed back into the kitchen with Gia and her team to make lunchbox butterfly snacks.
We also have a heartfelt message from the voice of prophecy, music, and more. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we are delighted to be starting this Monday morning with you. You know, we are thrilled that you have chosen to start your week off with the hope of Jesus.
Yes, friends. And did you know that today is National Empanada Day?
Yes.
And who doesn't enjoy a good empanada?
Oh, I know I do.
Yes. Oh, yes. We love empanadas in our house.
Oh, you make some good ones. Where did you learn to make empanadas?
Well, I lived in Argentina and I learned there.
Of course. They have the best.
They do.
The best empanadas.
They do.
Wow, that's wonderful. You know, an empanada is a type of a fried or baked pastry with Spanish origins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes way back to Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fill them with whatever filling you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Some of our favorites are corn.
Oh, yeah.
And we have like a veggie meat one.
Oh, with the veggie
green
meat, though, you
raisins.
You got to add the raisins.
Yeah.
That's the secret recipe
really
there.
Really yummy. Mm-hmm. So we want to encourage you, friends, and invite you to get together with some loved ones and join in making some empanadas together today. And of course, join them in eating them as well.
Yes.
What a great way to spend time together as a family.
That's right. And talking about spending quality time together, we're so thankful to be spending this time with you. So we can't wait to share God's hope with you this morning. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1993, the Space Shuttle Discovery launched from the Kennedy Space Center, carrying astronaut Ellen Ochoa, who would soon make history as the first Hispanic woman in space. She flew on three additional space shuttle missions, conducting atmospheric research on one and delivering components to the International Space Station on two. In total, Ochoa spent 40 days, 19 hours, and 35 minutes in space across her four flights. Apart from her space missions, Ochoa has made significant contributions to space exploration from Earth. She holds patents for technologies in automated space exploration and served as director of the Johnson Space Center from 2013 to 2018, the first Hispanic and second woman in that role. Among her accolades is NASA's highest honor, the Distinguished Service Medal.
You know, today we may be inspired by Ellen Ochoa's remarkable journey and strive to live out our faith with courage, perseverance, and a steadfast reliance on God's unfailing love and guidance. You know, with God's help, we too can reach new heights and make a lasting impact on the world around us.
That's right. This morning, Gia, Olive, and Moses are back to share a delightful kid-friendly recipe, Lunchbox Butterfly Snacks.
You are a lucky girl. Do you want to say hi and tell them your name and what we're making?
We're making butterfly snacks.
We're making butterfly snacks.
And my brother's going to make a bee and I'm going to make a butterfly.
I think they might both be butterflies, but I got him blue because that's his favourite colour. This one's for the kids. All you need for these snacks, it's an easy lunchbox idea. It just makes it more exciting for the kids. My kids love it. Look at them already. The kids get to choose what they want to put in here. Now, I know at schools at the moment they've got this whole thing about not putting peanuts in their snacks. So you just have to choose things wisely and what they can and can't have. So you can choose what you want to put in there. You choose what you want to put in there, but you've got to put a little bit of everything in there, okay? So put a few things. Now, I've got just like mixed
Mama,
nuts.
Mama, I've got a lot of things.
Okay, you can put it in there. I'll make my own one, right? And you guys can make one as well. Some walnuts, yum. And I love dates. I know the kids love dates too, don't they? Oh, they've got two there, I can see. Figs. And dates, did you put two dates in yours? Make sure you put two dates because we're gonna halve it in half. Now you can use a paper bag. I like to recycle my plastic bags, but if you want, you can use paper, which is fine. Oh yeah, get some of those in there. Okay, you ready? I think that's heaps. So all you have to do is zip lock the bag. or if you've got a paper bag, you just fold it round. And you've just, you've got to make sure all the air's out of it.
I can set my one.
Yes, you've just got to cut it in half or just spread it out so that half is on one side and half is on the other side. So make sure it's in half. So this one is showing you, so half. Half is on this side, half is on that side, and I've pushed the air out and I've locked it.
I want to make a bee, Mama.
You want to make a bee. Okay, so should we use black for yours then?
I want blue.
You want blue, I know. So we're going to do little bee antennas all the way around, because bees have antennas that go all the way around, don't they? Oh, there's your little bee, Momo.
Can I eat it now?
No, you can show the camera. Show the camera. Do you want that color?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the butterfly snack. So this one is Ollie's butterfly. Okay, so here you have it. You have your little butterfly snack. Use it for the kids. You can put whatever you want in it to make it exciting. Get them to help you in the kitchen. I always get my kids to help me in the kitchen so that they can learn to eat healthy foods. Ah! We'll see you next time. Bye. Ah, I got the butterflies attacking me.
The Collingsworth family now joins us as they sing the beautiful Casting Our Crowns at His Feet.
We'll cast our crowns.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We have to take a quick break now, but first we have doctor's orders.
Man, living healthy is such a drag. There's nothing to eat.
Nothing to eat?
Yeah, that's right. Nothing.
Are you sure?
Well, there's this carrot. You want me to have carrots and raisins, I suppose?
And?
And there's this thing. Do people actually eat this kind of thing? What is it?
That is broccoli, and it's delicious. You know, there are so many ways to turn these vegetables into delicious meals. From Japan to India, Thailand to Korea, across the Mediterranean, wonderful flavors and delicious dishes.
Oh yeah, well that's the foreign food, but what about locally? We have nothing to eat locally.
Oh, there's that nice avocado. Imagine that creamy avocado spread on whole wheat toast, your very own lemon squeezed on top. Slice those tomatoes, get some basil leaves out of the garden, and then you can also munch on that beautiful navel orange right out of your own orchard.
Well, yeah, there's those things.
And then imagine a bowl of chunky, nutty granola with soy milk poured on, vegetable casserole with an eggplant base, hot, creamy tomato soup on a cold winter's night. And you could bake that potato, put on some sour cream, mushrooms, sun-dried tomatoes, chives.
You're making me hungry. Why don't you stop talking, get cooking? I'm starving.
Oh, no can do. You just said there's nothing to eat. Remember, God gave us a huge variety of scrumptious foods. So go ahead, eat up doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us. You know, it's time for our devotional thought brought to us by our friends at the Voice of Prophecy.
One of my favorite books of the Bible is Genesis. And while the entire book is packed full of interesting stories and adventures that would thrill any reader, the two chapters that enthrall me the most are chapters 1 and 2. In those two chapters, we find what I call the ideal. This was the way things were supposed to be. When God created the earth and before sin spread its infectious wings over our planet, there was a perfect state of things. This perfection is captured for our thoughtful consideration and comparison in the opening two chapters of the Bible. Genesis 1 begins with the creation of the heavens and the earth. However, we are left wondering when this actually occurred in that we are only told that it was in the beginning. Was that part of day one or predated the actual days of creation and is more related to the beginning found in John 1:1-3, where we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Well, we're not told in Scripture when it was. Some have argued that the latter, suggesting that before the actual 7-day creative process, God formed the earth, and this could be why modern dating practices date the earth older than what the Bible reckons. Certainly, one could read Revelation 13:8 that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world as suggesting the same thing. But notwithstanding, what we do know is that when God began to create the content of the earth, He began with a canvas that was formless, void, and hidden in darkness. On the first day, God separated the light, day, from the darkness, or night. Again, we are left with a bit of a mystery in that we are not told what shone that first bit of light, for the sun, moon, and stars were not created until later. Maybe it was simply His presence, as suggested in Revelation 22:5, where the Lord God gives the light. Regardless, we begin with a distinction between dark and light, but with no way to regulate the process. Although there is something in place that determines time, for we are told that the morning and evening mark the first day and subsequent days. The second day reveals what was unseen due to the prior state of darkness. Apparently, the earth is covered and maybe even surrounded in water. The Bible states that God placed a firmament in between the water, causing a separation of the waters. So now we have water above and water below, and in between, a new space that He called heaven. That was enough work for that day. And on the third day, God initiates the third separation. This time he separates the water from land. The waters are gathered to the place of his indication, and land appears in its place. This land he calls earth. Once the land is in place, God can work as the master gardener. At his command, the grass, trees, and plant life spring up, decorating the barren landscape that had been lying dormant under the water just the day before. That's a wrap for the third day. The focus of the fourth day is in regulating the day and night and governing the time. Now, in order to accomplish this, he creates the sun, moon, and stars. Verses 14 and 15 read, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. After setting the stage for everything that is needed for life, God begins to create living beings. First, he turns his attention to the seas, where he creates all of the sea creatures. The sky is next, and that he peppers with all kinds of flying birds. By the way, as an aside, and maybe a sight that would cause many of us much unrest, there are some who believe that snakes had wings. So just think about that for a little bit. So sea animals and birds are day five, and now on to the sixth day. On this day, God moves his focus back to the land and calls into existence all of the land creatures of bears, tigers, dogs, cats, monkeys, and the list goes on and on. And while those are wonderful to behold, he's not done yet. It is on this day that he also makes his crowning achievement, the pinnacle of creation, man and woman. Man was to be different than the rest of the creation. In fact, God modeled us after his own image. In character and appearance, we were to resemble our Creator. After making us, he then entrusted the newly created earth into our care. We were to be the caretakers of this beautiful new planet, and Adam was to be the prince. Finally, on the seventh day of creation, God gave man another gift. As if the gorgeous garden and all of the creation was not enough, God gifted man with a day of rest. Not that man would be tired and that he was created perfect, but this day of rest, we are told in Scripture, was to be dedicated to spending time with God himself. One day a week that God and man would hang out. What an incredible gift. I love the creation story because I imagine God as the master painter and engineer. He has a blank canvas on which he can flow his creative juices. He can color how he wishes, carve out shapes and sizes to his pleasure, make as much or as little diversity as he desires. And when we take a look at what we have on this earth, even in its current fallen and sinful form, we understand the complexity, exactness, and diversity of God. We could spend hours talking about the realities of the nature of God, but we don't have that kind of time. I would, however, like to spend a few seconds looking at the exactness and precision of God as it relates to the creative process. I'm a hobby farmer and have been blessed with a small farm. Although figuring out how to efficiently grow in Colorado has been a bit of a challenge, this year we've had one of the best garden years that I can recall. There are many factors that influence the growth and health of plants. Some of the basics are nutrition, sun, and water. God, in his wisdom, designed plants to flourish based on receiving these things in their proper quantities. And this is where the creation sequence jumps out at me. It's of great interest that God created plants on the third day, but did not create the sun or something to govern the day and night until the fourth. Not a huge deal if on the next day he made these heavenly bodies, as the Bible testifies. However, if instead we adopt the thinking of some that between each creation day there were many years, maybe even millions of years, then the logic behind God's choice to make plant life before the sun, moon, and stars would need to be questioned. Why populate an entire planet with plant life, design that life to be dependent on the heavenly bodies for their health, development, and growth, but then wait millions of years to create those bodies? It's as if God purposely executed that sequence as evidence of a calendar day view of creation. And that's what I love about God. There's nothing that escapes his thoughts. In every step, he's provided enough for us to believe in him and believe in his word. How's it with you this morning? Do you believe? Maybe a little time thinking through God's creation might help. Let me pray with you this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the blessing of creation. We thank you that it's not something, Father, that you just guessed at. You were so intricate and made so many colors and shapes, and the diversity was absolutely incredible. And even in the pattern of creation, what you created first and second and third and fourth, all of these things were thought out well before the time, so that in the end, all would know that you are God. Thank you, Father, for creating things that we could trust in and know that we have a God that loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. Whatever this new week has in store for you, you can have hope in the midst of it. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you so much.
And friends, thank you for being with us today and watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning, friends. Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session and so much more.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's promise is found in James chapter 4, verse 7.
It says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you."
You know, friend, what a beautiful promise. Mm-hmm. As we submit ourselves to God, surrendering our will, our desires, our plans to God's authority, we can acknowledge his sovereignty and align our lives with his purpose. And when we submit to God and resist the devil, God promises that the devil will have no choice but to flee. And we will be safe under God's wings of refuge. You know, what a promise. I love that promise.
Amen. Friends, we pray that you were blessed by today's program.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this truly gives us such great news that we in Christ, with your power, we can cause the enemy to flee. And Lord, we choose to do that just now. As we continue with this day, we want to abide in Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for the invitation. And we run to you, Lord, as quickly as we can, as we trust in you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.